Our prayer for illumination. Please join with me on the words. God of mercy, you promised never to break your covenant with us. Amid all the changing words of our generation, speak your eternal word that does not change. Then may we respond to your gracious promises with faithful and obedient lives through Jesus Christ our Lord. You may be seated.
Our gospel lesson for this morning comes to us from the gospel according to John, chapter 15. We're reading today verses 9 through 17. And as we read this together, listen for what the word of God is saying to you in your lives, in your circumstances today, whatever they may be. Hear now the word of the Lord. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command: love each other. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So what does it mean to be a friend? How many friends do you have? If you're on Facebook, every person you're connected with on Facebook is your friend. I've got probably over 1,000 of them. But I've got a little secret for you. About 975 of those, if I've got 1,000, are people I haven't spoken with in a decade or more, probably. So are they still my friends? Well, I guess in some ways they are. I mean, these are folks who maybe I went to high school with or college with, people who, if I saw them at a reunion or when we travel back to Sioux City, Iowa in the summertime and I happen to go to the Hy-Vee, maybe I'll run into them in the grocery aisle and we'll talk. You know, the friend who works as the pharmacist behind the counter. We'll talk for a while, but then I'll leave and I'll come back here and it'll be another 10 years before I see them again. Do you think that's what Jesus meant when he said to his disciples, I call you friend? Think about the number of friends that Jesus must have. You know, I think 1,000 is a lot to keep track of. Think of all of the Christians who are living in the world, and think of all of those that are disciples of Jesus. Jesus says to his disciples, if you keep my commandments, then you're my friend. Just imagine the number of friends that Jesus must have. And what is the relationship of Jesus to his friends? Is it like me with my friends? Is Jesus someone who might pop into my life every decade or so for like a 5-minute long conversation and then I move on to the next thing? Or is Jesus a friend like Dale Carnegie's How to Win Friends and Influence People? Maybe Jesus is a friend that I can lean on when I need something, or that relationship that I can leverage just to get something out of it. Or maybe Jesus is my friend when Jesus needs something from me. Which is a question. Is Jesus ever in need of something from his friends? There are a lot of different ideas about friendship out there, right? So we have to dig down into God's word here this morning to figure out, what does Jesus mean when he calls his disciples friend? And then what does it mean for us living here today that Jesus is a friend? First of all, let's recap what we did last week. Jesus said, I am the vine, and you are the branches. Abide in me, remain in me, and you will bear much fruit. We talked about how the sap of God's love grows out of that embeddedness that we have in Jesus when we attend to his words, when we attend to God's word, how we grow up healthy like branches of a vine that bear fruit, fruit that flavors the world, fruit that shows forth God's love to the world. Jesus uses that same word again repeatedly here in our passage today. Remain in my love, Jesus says. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. There's this sense again and again of abiding in the love of Jesus. And for Jesus, in John's gospel, in John's letters to the church in 1st and 2nd and 3rd John, in John's revelation that he received on the island of Patmos, if we think that the same person wrote all of these things, for John, there is consistency in the fact that love and obedience are tied together inextricably. You cannot separate love of Jesus from obeying Jesus' commands. In 1 John, John writes to the church, if you say that you love Jesus but you hate other people, then you're nothing but a liar and you're fooling yourself, because love is transcendent. Love cannot be limited to one area or one thing. True love continues to grow and blossom. So if you say you love God, and if you say you love Jesus, then that love should flow forth to the rest of creation, to other people, to friends, to enemies. And what's the purpose of all of this? Remember that Jesus is saying these words to his disciples hours before he is betrayed into the hands of soldiers, turned over to the Romans for his trial, his beating, and his execution. And who is it that will hand him over? Who is it that will run away at the first sign of trouble? Who is it who will betray him? His friends. The people who are sitting at the table there with him. He's telling them this so that his joy may be in them and that their joy may be complete, that their joy might be mature. I don't know about you, but I don't often think about Jesus sitting around with his disciples in these final moments as a joyful occasion. Right? We often hear these words on Maundy Thursday, and we know what's coming. And it doesn't feel very joyful. And yet, for Jesus, being there with those that he is closest with on this earth is a subject of great joy, and he wants them to be joyful. and their joy is tied to the love that he has for them. His command, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. Remember a couple weeks ago we talked about the Good Shepherd narrative? Jesus said, I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. It's the same phrase, it's the same words that Jesus uses here. Not for all of his sheep, but for his friends, Jesus says, greater love has no one than this, that I lay down my life for you, my friends, and I call you friends now. You're no longer servants. You're no longer slaves. You're friends. Servants don't get insight into the master's plans, but friends do. And Jesus says, I have revealed to you everything that the Father has revealed to me. But it comes down to love. All of the law, all of the prophets, all of the teachings of Jesus, all of our religious rituals, all of our liturgy, all of our theology, all of our doctrine, all boiled down into a single idea, a single word, love. The word friend here in John's Gospel, translated literally from the Greek, is loved one. They are no longer slaves, they're no longer servants, but they are those who are loved by Jesus. So on Mother's Day, this is a good concept for us to lift up. Because for some, Mother's Day is a day of celebration. For others, Mother's Day is a day of mourning. For some, Mother's Day is a day to celebrate our moms, our aunts, our grandmothers, some of whom for me are probably watching from Iowa today. Happy Mother's Day, Mom, Grandma. But for others, Mother's Day is a day to hide because their relationships are not good with their mothers, or the subject of family brings up old wounds. But Jesus here is creating a community that is based on love and friendship. Love that is not based on a person's value because of what they can do or what they can offer or what they can provide. Not love that is based on some social climbing or some kind of popularity contest, as so much of our friendship often boils down to. But instead, friendship, as Jesus terms it, is friendship for the sake of friendship, for the sake of love. For us humans, there are probably less than 5 humans that fit well into that kind of definition of friendship for us. And for many of us, it might only be 1 or 2 people. But imagine this, that Jesus has the capacity to be our friend in that way, loving us deeply and individually, valuing us for who we are, not because of what we might do for the kingdom of God, but just because of who God created us to be. And that's what Jesus offers to his disciples as a gift that they can give to one another. That concept of love. So when we talked last week, what is the fruit that our branches produce? What is the fruit that lasts? That fruit is love. That fruit is the love that we offer to the world, the love that seeks to connect our friends, our loved ones, our coworkers, the folks that we know outside of this place, with the deep, deep love of Jesus that we find in the midst of this place. And finally, lest we think that somehow this all depends on us, Jesus says to his disciples, "You did not choose me. I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name." Jesus chose you to be a friend. Jesus chose you to love someone else. If you are hearing these words today, right now, or later on, or whenever it is you hear this, hear these words. Jesus chose you. Jesus loves you. And Jesus remains in you. The way we celebrate that, the way that we show that forth, the way that we demonstrate what it is to be a friend of Jesus is to bear fruit, fruit that will last. And that fruit, my friends, is love. Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Most holy God, we thank you for the gift of love, for the gift of friendship, for the gift of loved ones. And we thank you that you have knit together this community of faith that can provide friendship and love to one another and to this world that maybe doesn't know you, but that you know and that you love. We thank you for choosing us as your friends for the purpose of demonstrating that love to our world. The love that seeks not to get ahead in this world, but instead seeks to serve, to love in only the way you can. And so, Lord, we put our faith and our trust in you, and we devote ourselves to your service now as those who have been chosen for this purpose of love. May we bear fruit that lasts as we remain in you, in your words, in your love. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're able to stand, would you stand with me now as we profess our faith together in the words of question and answer number 1 of the Heidelberg Catechism. My only comfort in life and in death is that I am not my own, but belong, body and soul, in life and in death, to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. He has fully paid for all my sins with his precious blood and has set me free from the tyranny of the devil. He also watches over me in such a way that not a hair can fall from my head without the will of my Father in heaven. In fact, all things must work together for my salvation. Because I belong to him, Christ, by his Holy Spirit, assures me of eternal life and makes me wholeheartedly willing and ready from now on to live for him. Amen.